The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up, and oh my goodness, it has started already. Sean Payton looming large in Big D. You're not going to believe what happened yesterday. We'll start there. Then, is Aaron headed a mile high after his OC left for Denver? And is that the biggest mistake he could ever make? We'll answer that question. And, of course, the final four of the best postseason ever. Who is going to be super this Sunday? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers on a Football Friday, starting right now with Get Up. Greeny's here. Graziano is here. We got stories galore. And we put together some players for you today. Take a look. RC is ready to go. Sam Acho is ready to go. Rob Ninkovich is starring in a hostage video today. What in the world is going on with the background there? We're going to have to figure this thing out. One way or another, let's begin with the coaching carousel. A ton of important moves. It starts with the Broncos hiring Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett to be their head coach, which, of course, has a lot of people wondering if Aaron Rodgers will follow him to Denver. We will talk about that. In Chicago, the Bears hired Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus as their head coach. He will need an offensive coordinator to develop Justin Fields. We'll talk about that. But we'll start with this. In Dallas, Mike McCarthy told he will return. Dan Quinn coming back too. What does that mean about Sean Payton? Well, Payton was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday analyzing the playoffs, and he himself asked to analyze how the Cowboys' season ended. Listen to this.
Then ask me the end of the Cowboys game, and let me see if I can do this better.
Okay. What did the Cowboys do wrong in this situation?
Well, look, they're trying to get in field. They're trying to get in touchdown range, and they ran a draw. We typically would throw a pass and down. Ultimately, I think two more steps for Dak. He's got to slide a little quicker. He's up. Ball has to go to the umpire. Then let's go. We can never hand the ball to the center.
So let me see if I've got this straight, Ryan Clark. At a moment in time in which literally everyone is wondering aloud about whether or not Sean Payton is going to become the coach of the Cowboys at some point soon, he goes on a big show with a big host and says, I'd like to talk about the way that season ended and then took it apart. Yeah. Do we have that about right? And what does it mean?
That was just Sean Payton's informal interview for Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones to say, guys, look, if you had me as your head coach, how we would have handled that situation and moved on into the playoffs. I think it's a cool thing when smart people do extremely intelligent things while pretending to be oblivious, right? While acting like no one cares that he has any connection to the Dallas Cowboys, acting like no one will draw any information from this and come up with their own conclusions, and also asking to do this instead of being asked by Dan Patrick. Sean Payton is a Super Bowl winning coach. He's one of the best coaches of this era, and he is not a stupid man. He knew exactly what would come from that, and in 1 year, if the Dallas Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl, I expect Sean Payton to be the next head coach of that team, and I think Sean Payton kind of expects that too.
Sacho, what do you think?
Man, it sounds good, but if you actually watched the interview, you saw that Sean Payton was just trying to get better. He was trying to improve on his technique. He gave an analysis of the last 13 seconds of the Chiefs game. He went a little bit long. He said, okay, give me another chance to do something better. And so Sean Payton, perfectionist, brilliant mind, offensive genius, he said, let me talk this thing through so I can be better on TV. He's about to transition to get paid a lot of money and be able to chill a lot more. And so I don't expect him back anytime soon. Yes, he might still have that itch, but he needs to stay in that booth for as long as he can.
All right, that's interesting. That's taking a different direction. Ninkovich, how about you?
He's going to coach again. This is just like a one-year hiatus. He's going to be a coach again in the NFL, a head coach at that. So, you know, you have to think back to the Saints season and what they had to go through. I have a couple friends on the staff. They had a full month in a hotel because of that hurricane that came through New Orleans. So they're in a hotel for a month. Then they move on and they go through the season. You lose your starting quarterback. You lose a bunch of key pieces. They literally go off, grab quarterbacks off the couch to come start for them. So I think that this season was a big stressor. Sean Payton wanted to just get away, burn it from both ends, take a year off, recharge the batteries, and I guarantee he'll be a head coach at some point in the future.
Yeah, and of course, Dallas is the place that many of us will put together because of his history there, his history with Jerry Jones and everything else. And Jones' typical or traditional appeal for star power. And Sean Payton is a star. But, Graz, let's not bury the lead here. I mentioned it at the beginning. Mike McCarthy told he'll be back. That was new yesterday. Dan Quinn coming back. That feels like a surprise. Fill us in on the details here.
Yeah, well, Dan Quinn, the entire NFL world basically thought Dan Quinn was getting the Denver Broncos head coach job. He didn't. They hired Nathaniel Hackett instead. Dan Quinn has a good job, and he's also still getting paid by the Atlanta Falcons, so it's not like he's in a rush to jump to his next head coach job. He stays in Dallas, and obviously that'll lead to speculation if they have a down year that maybe he is the guy to succeed Mike McCarthy. But yeah, look, Sean Payton, people have to understand, has 3 years left on his contract with the Saints. If he were to coach another team, the Saints would be entitled to some compensation. They would have to effectively trade him. So I don't think this is anything that happens now. I think Rob is absolutely right that he takes at least 1 year off and recharges. I think he's probably going to end up on a television network, which means he will stay visible, which means that if the Cowboys have a down year and people are getting on Mike McCarthy, these connections will continue to get made. You know, you tell me I'm the wet blanket. Sacho's out here saying, pay no attention to this. He's just trying out for TV. Like, there's a lot going on here. There's no question about it. Sean's not just a one-layer guy.
Yeah, and it's not, look, this is not if Mike McCarthy has a down year. This is what Mike McCarthy has a bad quarter, right? I mean, if he has a bad quarter, the conversation begins. Yeah. RC, does that impact the team? Like, when there's all this, there is speculation about the coach getting fired before the offseason begins. Does that impact the way the team plays?
No, it absolutely doesn't. Maybe it affects the way that Mike McCarthy or any coach that would be considered or be in that situation coaches, but it doesn't affect the players in the locker room. You have one job, and that job is to go out and do your job the best you can in order to help your team win, in order to continue making money in your career. And that's what the dudes in the locker room will be focused on. And listen, they hear it, right? They know, and they understand, too, that their coach has made mistakes to put them in this position. And so if I'm in that locker room, I'm hoping that some of the pressure, some of the noise changes the ways that Mike McCarthy has worked in Dallas the last 2 years, and it allows us to be a better football team. And the consolation prize to that is, if Mike McCarthy isn't a better coach next year, we get Sean Payton. And so if I'm in the locker room, it's a great day for everybody.
Okay, fair enough. In the meantime, there was Sacho, I'm coming back to you on this, I promise. We'll have plenty of time to do this.
I'm doing my Ryan Clark. I'm doing my Ryan Clark right now because Ryan Clark, you sounded like me right now. You know how you say some people are so smart, but they don't say always the smartest things? You said it doesn't affect them whatsoever, but then you also said, but they know in the back of their minds that Sean Payton could be there next year. It, of course, affects the players on that team, especially listening to the media. If you turn on the TV, turn on Get Up with Greeny, talking about the Cowboys every A block of every show, every day of the week. You're seeing it all the time, and now all of a sudden you're saying, man, the reason we lost wasn't because of our defense, which is ranked number 5 or number 6 in the NFL, 7, excuse me, wasn't because of our number one ranked offense. It's because of bad execution. It's because of not doing the right things. Maybe it's because of our coach. Man, oh man, what if we got Sean Payton? That would help me and accomplish my Super Bowl dreams. And so for me,
that sounds
it definitely affects the players
mentality
in that locker room, all these conversations.
Okay, let me leave it there because I got to get to the Rodgers stuff, but we will get back to this, I promise. But we have to get to the next stop. I mentioned it. Nathaniel Hackett is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. That came across while we were on yesterday. He's the former offensive coordinator in Green Bay. He worked 3 years with Aaron Rodgers. They had a very good and successful relationship. That brings up all of the speculation. Now, yesterday, Damian Woody, sitting right here, said he thinks Rodgers should rethink a move to the AFC West. Listen.
Bort named all these guys for the Denver Broncos, and rightfully so. But I got some names for you, too.
Yeah.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek.
Okay, man, hold on. Let me finish. I'm an MVP, and I'm afraid of anybody.
Hold on, let me finish. Okay?
Yeah. So?
Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
So,
let me see. We've on this show have talked many a time about how there's levels to this, how there's different rooms in the Hall of Fame and all that type of stuff. And you mean to tell me, let me go to the AFC, particularly the AFC West.
So that was pretty much my morning yesterday. D Wood trying to make that point, and Bart Scott just yelling nonstop about it. What he was trying to say, Ryan Clark, was Aaron Rodgers would be smart to look at that situation and say, hey, the NFC is not loaded with one after another sensational young quarterback. I would much rather stay here than go there. Bart Scott was basically saying, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're not worried about that. RC, who's right?
Yeah. I think Damian's right. And I think Damian's right because it's about intelligence, right? It's about understanding. It's about awareness. It doesn't mean that you are fearful. I think that's what we constantly mix up, that just because I am taking a lay of the land, just because I understand who the other quarterbacks are and I'm trying to find my easiest path to the championship, the path of least resistance, it doesn't make me a scary quarterback. It doesn't mean that I'm not one of the best of all times. It means that I know I have to play the Patrick Mahomes twice. I have to see them in the playoffs. You have to see the Josh Allens in the playoffs. And I think the one thing that this playoffs has taught us, other than the San Francisco 49ers, is that you need a dude. You need a dude that can go out and compete when the guy on the other side playing quarterback is playing at an elite level. And if the Kansas City Chiefs don't have Patrick Mahomes, they don't beat the Buffalo Bills. Now think about having to play those games, whether it's Herbert, Burrow, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson, obviously Josh Allen. You have to go through all of those things, and then you think about the NFC, which you aren't winning anyway. You think about the NFC, and it doesn't seem to be loaded with that level of quarterback with that type of young talent. And so I believe he's definitely aware of it. I believe it also plays into the decision along with what skill would be around him. But to say that he doesn't pay attention to that, to me, would be absolutely crazy.
What do you think, Sacho?
Yeah, I think it definitely, I'm a Woody on this one. Even RC's point is a good one. But my angle is this. You go to the AFC West. You don't know, I get it. You got to play Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you want to do that twice a year. I don't think you want to play Justin Herbert twice a year. Also, I don't think that, yes, your offense might be potent, but defensively, Von Miller's not there anymore. Defensively, you don't know who your defensive coordinator is going to be. So who's going to be stopping the other guys on that side of the ball? I don't get excited if I'm Aaron Rodgers about having to go through Kansas City in my division, not just the AFC and all the other quarterbacks, the quarterbacks in my division every single year. That's what I'm not excited about. If you look at the NFC North, the quarterbacks, the teams in his division, you got the Lions who are 3-13-1, first year coach. The Bears have a new head coach. The Vikings haven't even hired a coach, right? That's the path of least resistance. Yeah. You've won the division time and time again. I do not get excited about going to Denver and facing those Chiefs every year, twice a year.
Right. And so, Graz, yesterday, Shefty on the show said the Broncos didn't hire Nathaniel Hackett just because they think that he can attract Aaron Rodgers, but it certainly doesn't hurt. So as we put those two and two together there, I mean, am I coming up with five, or does it make all the sense in the world?
It makes sense. Like, Rodgers is on record as supporting Hackett and his head coach candidacy. There's a clip where he says, I hope he doesn't go anywhere, and he says, unless I do too. Mm. So obviously people are going to put this together, and it makes sense too. You're right. Let's not undermine the credentials of Nathaniel Hackett, who may be a worthy head coach on his own merits. But yes, if you're eyeing Aaron Rodgers, certainly this has to be a factor for the Denver Broncos. To the point that Woody and Bart Scott were arguing, I go back to Tom Brady's decision a couple of years ago, right? It was Chargers or Bucks, and he didn't pick the Chargers. He didn't pick the AFC West team, right? I'm not saying that's the only factor, but I'm sure it occurred to him. And I think Sacho's point about path of least resistance is an important one. Aaron Rodgers, 38. He knows he doesn't have 10, 15 more years to try and win Super Bowl.
Exactly. Right, we will see what winds up happening with all of that. In the meantime, on this Football Friday, oh, by the way, it's championship weekend. So we will dive deeply into that. What has to happen for Joe Burrow and the Bengals to upset Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead? We'll get you there. Plus, will it be Steel Pity instead of Steel City now that Big Ben has retired? Who will be their next quarterback? How long will it take to get back to the top? All that and more as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by the Ice Age Adventures of Buckwild. The pack is back in an all-new movie event now streaming only on Disney Plus. All right, it's time for Overreaction Friday. So I'm going to say something that I think people are generally saying, and Dan Graziano is going to tell us whether that something is an overreaction. So if people were to say, oh, yeah, the Bengals absolutely can go in there and beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead, is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. We saw the Bengals beat the Chiefs 3 weeks ago, and yes, granted, it was in Cincinnati, and it was not the AFC Championship game. And this may be a young team that doesn't know what's in store for it, and the Chiefs look all fixed. But I know this. If the Bengals don't win this game Sunday, it will not be because the moment was too big for Joe Burrow. They may not be as good a team as the Chiefs right now, but they will not be scared.
Okay, I like that one. Next. If someone were to say the 49ers cannot win the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, is that an overreaction?
Yes. I mean, they're right there. All they have to beat the Rams, who they own, to get to the Super Bowl. And then it's one game. It's one game, right? We're talking about 2 years ago. He makes one throw to Emmanuel Sanders late, and the whole narrative is different about him, about the Chiefs, everybody. They're right there. Anybody who's left can still win it.
Well, you were at this game on Saturday night, and as Garoppolo and the 49ers beat the Packers. And look, he's the quarterback. He got the win. But frankly, they needed a blocked punt to do it.
I understand
where the questions
Packers
come from.
Packers offense couldn't do anything in that game either.
That's right. So, last one. If someone were to say the Steelers are in for a long rebuild now as they are post-Roethlisberger, is that an overreaction?
I think it is, because we don't know what's going to happen with them at the quarterback position, whether they get a veteran in there, whether they build from the draft. I think Mike Tomlin and this Steelers organization has shown enough to deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I think assuming they get quarterback figured out, which, yes, is a big if, I think the Steelers are not a team that is content to do a long rebuild. I think they can bounce quickly.
In case you missed it, Roethlisberger did officially announce his retirement yesterday. Certainly didn't come as a surprise. So where do the Steelers go from here is the question. Well, they've got some guys on the roster. Mason Rudolph is under contract through 2022. Dwayne Haskins is a restricted free agent this coming year. Those two have combined to make 23 career NFL starts, and there's nothing about any of them that would give one enormous confidence. And so let me bring in my favorite Pittsburgh Steeler, and that is Ryan Clark. RC, who is the Steelers' starting quarterback going to be week one of next year?
I have absolutely no idea, but I know he's not on the roster right now. That's what I know. I know a team that refuses to rebuild, a team that continues to reload and try to compete for AFC North championships, knows it can't start this year with Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins as its starting quarterback. And obviously, Kevin Colbert is retiring after the draft, but he's going to be tasked with setting this team up better for the future than he has before this season. And I think when you look at some of the veterans that could be on the market or some of the things that you could do to maneuver your team and put your team in a position to get a quarterback who is experienced at starting and that has won in this league, the Pittsburgh Steelers have to do that. We've seen Mason Rudolph. We've seen Dwayne Haskins. We also know what this team now is up front offensively and also at the skill player position. And so if you are Kevin Colbert, if you are Mike Tomlin, you are looking outside of your building to find your next quarterback.
Okay, so I agree with that completely. And keeping with the theme of overreactions, if we will, if I were to say The Steelers are a place. Pittsburgh is a team. When you consider the weapons, when you consider the stability top to bottom, when you consider the defense, when you consider the running back, if I were to say, this is a place that I'm a veteran quarterback, I'm dying to go to, that might be as attractive as any possible destination. Ninko, would that be an overreaction?
Dying to go to? I think that would be an overreaction. I mean, a great organization to go to that has, you know, some promising upside with a very steady head coach that you know is going to be there, has been there a long time, and Mike Tomlin, of course. Like, yeah, it's a nice place to go. I don't think it's the number one place that you would want to go, but when you look at the defense and the stability at head coach, of course, that's a place that's definitely attractive to a quarterback.
Sacho, how about you? Can I get you to buy in on that? That would be the destination if I were a quarterback with options.
Not buying in, Greeny. Not buying in whatsoever for a couple reasons. One, statistically, and then secondly, culturally. Statistically, the offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus, was ranked 26 out of 32 teams. That's the bottom third of the NFL. So there are still issues offensively. I understand our head coach is one of the greatest. I understand we have weapons at running back and receiver, but and defense. But statistically, I have issues offensive line-wise. And then culturally, if anybody knows Pittsburgh, and RC, you know it well, Pittsburgh has a certain culture about it. I remember when I played in Arizona, there were so many guys from Pittsburgh who came there. They said, man, let's try and make this the Pittsburgh of the West. There was this culture that is in Pittsburgh. And I think it's kind of difficult to just come in as I understand you're a franchise quarterback or culture setter, to fit into that culture, right? The house that Big Ben has lived in for so long. And so I think that's something that we need to think about when you start throwing out names of quarterbacks that could go to Pittsburgh. It's not just about a fit from a personnel perspective. You got to think about, man, how do I fit within this culture, within this city, within this team? I think those things matter specifically when you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's an interesting thought, and let me give you one example, RC. And Cindy, let's go ahead and roll this because it was one of my favorite moments of the NFL season. And we will bring up Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. Who can forget this? Little cat and mouse on the field there and there. Look at that. I mean, these two have a crush on each other. It's just that simple. Rodgers is winking over at Tomlin, and Tomlin is laughing at him. RC, what do you think about that? How about if I were to say Aaron Rodgers would be just as well off in Pittsburgh as he would be in Denver? What do you think?
Listen, I do a radio hit every Wednesday in Pittsburgh for the entire season, and I've answered this question before. We've talked about it before on those shows, and that's something that everybody in Pittsburgh has been clamoring about, and especially after that moment. But I think that moment was just a sign of respect, right? A Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback playing a little cat and mouse game of timeout. But when you think about Pittsburgh and what that organization means, who understands what it's like to play for one of the more historically revered organizations more than Aaron Rodgers? He's been a Green Bay Packer his entire career. He knows what it means when certain logos carry a different level of weight. When you walk past Lombardi trophies your entire career. And so that is something that I would be extremely interested in. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers are interested in. I just don't know if they have what it takes to get it done.
All right, we'll find out. Bookmark that one. I don't think it should be ignored. In the meantime, we're moving our way to the final four of what has been the best postseason ever. Who is going to be super this Sunday? Could we have one, maybe two upsets in the offing? We're talking about it. Plus, Tom Brady used a word to describe his season that I don't think we've ever heard before. I need to hear what Ninkovich thought of that, and we will next. Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
It's Get Up, and it's Final Four weekend in the NFL. Let's play a game of more or less. Ninko, Patrick Mahomes going to have more or less than 3 touchdown passes this weekend?
3? Only 3? Come on. He's going to have more. More, definitely. What's he had the last 2 games? Let's get serious. Let's get real. More.
Fair enough. That's a concise response from Rob Ninkovich. RC, let's go to Jamar Chase, your guy from LSU. Is he going to have more or less than 2 touchdowns this weekend?
I'm going less, and I'm not going less because I don't think that Jamar Chase will play well. I'm going less because I believe Steve Spagnuolo is going to pop in some of that San Francisco Green Bay tape and figure out what San Francisco did after the first drive against Green Bay, which was double Devontae Adams, the same thing that you should be doing with Jamar Chase throughout the day, sliding safeties to him. They'll understand that he's the number one target for Joe Burrow, and they cannot allow him to beat him, much like they did Stephon Diggs, but Gabriel Davis went crazy.
Sacho, let's go to the D-line. More or less 1.5 sacks for Chris Jones?
I'm going to shock everyone and go less, even though Joe Burrow got sacked 7 times last week. It's not that the Chiefs won't have a lot of sacks. I just think they will be spread out. Chris Jones will have him some. You'll see everyone on that D-line be making plays. Guys like Alex Okafor, guys who even rotate in, will be getting sacks. And so Melvin Ingram will be all after the quarterback. For me, it's not about one player and Chris Jones. It's about the entire defensive line getting after the quarterback.
All right, so let's focus in on that game for a moment here in the AFC Championship game and how and where it is going to be won. And Sacho, I'll start with you. We asked each of you guys to give us a key, what it is you're watching for most in this matchup and what will decide it. Sacho, go.
For me, it's simple. For me, it's about angles and effort. Those are the 2 things that are most important. Cincinnati is 4th in the NFL in yards after catch, and here's why. You see this catch right here. You see a bad angle by number 54. He's going to overrun the play. You're going to see 2 guys, 38, 35. They're not having full effort. Jamar Chase does the rest. He's 2nd in the league in yards after catch. He had 11 catches, 266 yards in their last game in week 17. Now for the Chiefs. Once again, eyes and angles. Look at Patrick Mahomes' eyes. It freezes the inside linebacker because he looks outside and this draw is run right up the middle. You can't go downhill. So you got one quarterback with eyes and angles on one side. Then defensively, you have the other quarterback and the other team. It's all about eyes, angles, and effort when you come to playoff football during this time of the year.
That's good stuff. And again, that video that you saw there was from the matchup these 2 teams had just a few weeks ago. Ninko, how about you? What's the biggest key?
It's going to be mixing in the running game. And you think about Joe Burrow, he was under pressure, 9 sacks last week for minus 68 yards. They're going to have to run the football, and it's going to come down to Mixon. He's one of the best running backs in the league. If they can run the football, that takes away a little bit of that pin your ears back mentality of just getting after the quarterback. So if they run the football, then you mix in the play action pass, gives your quarterback a few more seconds to evaluate the field and make the best decision possible. So running the football is the biggest key in this matchup, and it's going to come down to Mixon.
Okay, next up is RC. What to you is the biggest key in the AFC Championship game?
Just its way that it played Jamar Chase in game 1. Jamar Chase had a phenomenal rookie season and no game better than what he had against the Kansas City Chiefs. They left him in one-on-one matchups all too often, especially in critical situational football. And so does Steve Spagnuolo understand that he has to shade him more, that he has to bring safeties to his side, he has to double him on third downs. And if he can do some of those things, you have to make T. Higgins beat you. You have to make Uzama beat you. You want to force them into running the football with Jamar Chase with the defensive line that's better and that should dominate the offensive line of the Cincinnati Bengals. I think this game is about stopping the big play. We saw the Buffalo Bills really use Gabriel Davis against the Kansas City Chiefs because they paid attention to Stephon Diggs. Will that be the same way they play Jamar Chase, asking or looking to take him out of the game and make someone else beat them?
Yeah, interesting, particularly if you're looking at some of the props and things like that. How about you, Graz?
I agree with my highly intelligent friend Ryan Clark, and I think that Jamar Chase has to be the focal point of the Chiefs' defensive meetings this week. Steve Spagnuolo has to stress, number 1 is really good, and he crushed us last time. 266 yards. So, yes, T. Higgins can beat you. Tyler Boyd is a threat. Uzama is a threat. But you have to devote more to Jamar Chase. And the fact that Tyrann Mathieu was back at practice yesterday, out of the concussion protocol, or it looks like he will be out of the concussion protocol, the fact that Charvarius Ward, who didn't finish the game against Buffalo, is back this week in practice, those are important things because that secondary late against Buffalo Buffalo was playing backups, and it was very vulnerable.
Yeah, let's underline that point about Tyrann Mathieu, who is the heart and soul of that defense in so many ways. Got kicked in the back of the head early in that game against Buffalo and missed pretty much the entire game. He is expected. Am I clear that he is expected to play?
He was full practice participant yesterday, so obviously tracking toward playing. Concussion protocol, you still need to clear a couple more steps.
Okay, feels important as far as this matchup is concerned. So let's pick it. We will make sure we tell you who we think is going to win both of these games coming up this weekend. AFC Championship, Sacho, who wins?
I like the Cincinnati Bengals, and here's why. Even if you try to stop or contain Ja'Marr Chase, they have three receivers in the top 30 when it comes to receptions. They're the only other team in the NFL that has that. And oh, by the way, you stop their receivers, they got Joe Mixon, a running back who's second in the NFL in rushing. And so for me, there are too many weapons to defend on this Cincinnati Bengals football team. That's why they won in week 17 against the Chiefs. That's why they'll win again.
I like it. I'm telling you, it might be the greatest two-year turnaround in NFL history if that team gets into the Super Bowl, but there's a big game standing in their way. RC, who wins?
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. With all of the ups and downs of its quarterback, the ups and downs of its defense, this team is right where we thought they'd be at the beginning of the season, and Patrick Mahomes is playing his best football right now in the most important moments. I think he gets his team to the third consecutive Super Bowl.
Graz, who you got?
I have been torn on this greenie. I literally switched it multiple times since the question came in last night. Who are you taking? Every time I pick the Bengals, they win. Every time I pick against the Chiefs win. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I have settled for now, after spending 2 days in Cincinnati among those very excited people, I'm going to take the Bengals.
Taking the Bengals? I never thought I would see that many bees on the screen.
It's crazy.
Ninko, who you got?
I'm with Graz. This one's so hard for me because on both sides of it, I've been picking the Bengals every single week, and I've been picking the Chiefs because I've been with them all year, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs because they're just really good. So okay, I like enough. Cincinnati, but I think their offensive line is their biggest issue.
Split down the middle. That's more Cincinnati love than I was expecting. Meanwhile, time for the DraftKings poll question of the week, and it is, who will throw for more passing yards this weekend? Will it be Burrow or Mahomes? DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. During the playoffs, new Sportsbook customers can bet $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up with the code GETUP. Meanwhile, in other enormous football news, after that rare early playoff exit, Tom Brady speaking earlier this week on his future and using a word that not many have heard Tom Brady use in his career. Here it was.
I would say I'm proud and satisfied of everything we accomplished this year. So I know when I give it my all, that's something to be proud of. And I've literally given everything I had this year, last year, the year before that, the year before that. Like, I don't leave anything half-assed, you know? I think I'd leave it with everything that I have.
So again, the word is satisfied. And Ninko, you know Brady as well as pretty much anybody. You played with him for a really long time. A lot of people here seized on the fact that he used that word satisfied. How significant was that to you?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to read into this. Like a couple weeks ago, I said I would be surprised if the guy walked away and all of a sudden I had a clown nose on my face. So anyway, now it's a big story and everyone's, you know, all the insiders or the guys that are in on it. But anyway, I really think that at this point right now, it's up to Tom and what he wants to do. Look, you go to the Indy 500 because you want to see a big crash. If Tom Brady keeps playing, eventually there's going to be something. Everyone wants to see the crash. They want to see the fall. They want to see the cliff. Don't give him the satisfaction, Tom. Go do what you want to do. You've done everything. You have so many Super Bowls. You've sold beds, you know. But hey, Tom Brady on a bed. Yeah, great. So buy this bed. You've done everything off the field, on the field, TB12, everything. So, you know, I think that Tom, at this point right now, do what you want. Do what makes you happy. Go out, be with your family. Do whatever you want. But I wouldn't surprise me if he walked away. No. Or if he played five more years. I've said this before.
Ninko did. He said it here before. Can I just interrupt one brief second here? RC, Graz, let's just ask the question everyone in America is asking. Cindy, can we take just a one shot? Rob Ninkovich, where the actual heck are you? What is going on there?
Okay, so I moved, okay? And I would take my camera and I would move it. I bought a 4-foot shelf, okay? I was going to put a shelf. I thought it was going to be up here. It was only here. It was only right here. So I couldn't put it up. It would have looked terrible. So I just went with this look. I know it looks like I'm, you know, in a lineup. But next week, we'll be all set up. We'll have the jerseys hung. We'll have the shelf. I went to IKEA. They didn't have any shelves. I had to go find something else. So anyway, I got to find a shelf. We're going to get shelves. We're going to get the jersey. But I just moved. It's hectic. It sounds empty in this room because it is. But,
What I heard was he didn't know how high 4 feet was. I see this on that as well. So you were thinking a 4-foot shelf would be taller than you. Rob thinks he's 3 foot.
I thought it was 7 foot tall, but when I took it out of the box, it was really short. So I made a mistake, okay?
See, you love movie references. Does he look like he's in The Usual Suspects to you? Yeah. Like someone should be saying, yes, it was number 5.
Kaiser, Kaiser Sose, baby. Yes, indeed. It happens sometimes, Greeny. We all got to move. And, you know, we as guys that played football for a long time, we aren't always the handiest or maybe sometimes the most intelligent. And my dog Ego made a mistake. He'll be ready next week.
What do you got there?
I got all my stuff ready to go on the shelf. It's a little Ninko action figure. It's going on the shelf. I got the cleats.
You gotta get a shelf
first,
cleats
from the Super Bowl. I know. I can't. Yeah.
We will get all that together.
We'll get it.
I really look forward to seeing that room next week.
Look, you got the Super Bowl tag. You got everything.
That's great.
Okay. Well done. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that mystery because, frankly, it was distracting. Now we all understand what's happening.
Draw something.
In the meantime, we roll along with so much on this Football Friday. What the 49ers have to do to stop Matthew Stafford and the Rams in L.A.? Can San Francisco put together another Hollywood ending? We'll answer that question. And Justin Fields has a new coach, not exactly known for his offense. We're talking about that and more. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. And there's Ninko again. He's got a lot of stuff.
He's got a lot of stuff.
He's got stuff.
It's not up yet.
Some of it needs to be behind him.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and let's play a game of what if, looking ahead to the things that could happen this weekend. Ryan Clark, what will we say if Patrick Mahomes wins another title?
It's a wrap. There's nothing else to say. It's about building his legacy. Patrick Mahomes is already one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. And so now we're talking about what's next. It's not about how great he can be, how good of a football player he can be. It's only about how many championships will he win so we can place him in the GOAT conversation.
Ninko, let me go to you. What will we say? What if Joe Burrow beats him this weekend?
Well, if Joe Burrow beats him this weekend, guess what? There's a new sheriff in town. And after the game, you know what we're going to see? We might see a feather. We might see a hat. We might see a cigar. We might see some glasses. You know what I'm saying? We might see it all. We might see everything because there's a new sheriff in town.
Ninko, I like it. I like the props. We got to keep going this way. Graziano, let me come to you. What if Jimmy G gets the 49ers to another Super Bowl?
I think that'll increase the value of the contract extension he gets from his new team. Because I think the implication of this question is, does that mean they have to keep him?
Right.
I don't think they will. They traded way too much to move up and get Trey Lance. I think this game or the next one is Jimmy Garoppolo's last with the 49ers. I think he and they realize it, and I think it's a big part of the reason he's just kind of letting it loose.
Even if he wins the Super Bowl, they move on.
I believe so.
Okay, be remarkable. RC, what if Matthew Stafford fails to bring his team to the Super Bowl?
Somebody better check on Dan Orlovsky. That's the only thing I can think of. Somebody check on my boy and make sure he's okay. You think he cried after they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? If they don't win, it'll be a different set of tears.
If they don't win, Orlovsky's going to insist they did.
He came in here on Monday, and he did. He looked right at me, and he goes, Greeny, I got to tell you, I cried. I cried.
I would never say that, but he said it on the air, so that was all good with me. Well, let's get into that for a minute here, because the pressure on Stafford, when this season began, Rob Ninkovich, we all, I think, believe there was more pressure on Matthew Stafford than any other player. Now he wins a big playoff game. He goes into Tom Brady Stadium and throws a huge pass at the very end to win the game. Does that remove it? Did he get the monkey off his back, or is there still more he needs to do?
No, you got to win a Super Bowl. I mean, look, the Rams, they already went to a Super Bowl with Goff. What did they do? They made this move. They made this move to get back to a Super Bowl, not just to get to a Super Bowl and lose. You have to get back to this game, and you have to win it. Because after this year, they went out and they basically sold out to build this roster, and they did that.
Yeah.
So they better win a Super Bowl, or else I don't think it's a successful season at all.
That's interesting. Graziano, as one who... Your job is to chronicle these things. Does Stafford have to win the championship to justify whatever it is that needs to be justified here?
I think so. I'm with Carmen San Diego there. I think that this is – look, Jared Goff got them to a Super Bowl, and the reason they got Matthew Stafford is because they feel like they needed to elevate beyond what Jared Goff can do. And think about it, the 49ers have the Rams' number. They beat them six times in a row. The only reason the 49ers are even in the playoffs is because the Rams blew a huge lead against them in week 18. Yeah. So Stafford has to erase his performance down the stretch in that game, and he has to get the Rams to the Super Bowl. All the pressure is on Stafford.
That's right. That game was 17-0 Rams at one point. If they win that game, New Orleans makes the playoffs, and San Francisco does not. Instead, they are on this run. Three straight elimination games the 49ers have won to get here. And RC, I know you've put together some tape as we take a closer look at this matchup between these two NFC West rivals.
Yeah, listen, when you talk about Matthew Stafford, you can't mention him and not mention the front four of the San Francisco 49ers, which to me was the reason they were able to be so great against Green Bay. Think about what Nick Bosa was able to do off of the left side of the offensive line, especially closing in on Aaron Rodgers in the red zone. And then you add Arik Armstead to that, who's now playing back in the inside after starting outside this season, an emergence much like Chris Jones. And then there's plays at the end of the game when they needed to be made that were made by the front four of the San Francisco 49ers, which allowed D'Amico Ryans, who's done a masterful job and should be considered for head coaching jobs, to play on the back in the way he needed to stop Devontae Adams. When you look at Matthew Stafford, the way to get to him is pressure. There was a three-game stretch this season where the pressure got to Matthew Stafford. He threw pick sixes in two of those three games, and the Los Angeles Rams lost. If you get to Stafford, if you can force him into bad decisions like they did on Monday night early on in the season, this is the way to win this game. No other quarterback has more pressure than Matthew Stafford this week, both literally and figuratively. And I cannot wait to see if he excels or if he folds, because that will be a story we talk about on Monday morning.
It's a great point, and I think it's worth adding to the discussion. He will not have the traditional home field advantage. I saw one of the secondary ticket sites, despite everything the Rams are trying to do to fill that building with their own fans, they anticipate it being something like 60 to 65% 49er fans in the stadium for that game. All right, let's pick it here. LA is a 3.5-point favorite. Who's Ryan Clark? Who wins the NFC Championship?
I'm taking the Los Angeles Rams. You know, when you watch what Matthew Stafford was able to do in finishing that game, it kind of makes you forget he only had to do that because of the four fumbles. This team played exceptionally well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Matthew Stafford had his welcome home or welcome to the playoff moment, and I believe that that continues into this week, and it'll represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Grouse, who you got?
I've got the 49ers. They've beaten the Rams six times in a row. I think Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay's number. I think the 49ers are playing like a team that has nothing to lose right now. They're hot. And I will expand it, what RC said about the front four. Front seven, add Fred Warner and that crew to that list. That group is carrying the Niners.
Ninko, who you got?
I'm going with the Rams. They got to start fast. They got to score first, play from ahead. If they can do that, unlike last week, don't make the mistakes. They're going to learn from those mistakes, and they're going to win.
All right, and I, as I said yesterday, I will take the 49ers because they've already won games. I can't believe they won in these playoffs. If they can do that, I think they can do this. Meanwhile, I have to show you what happened overnight at the Australian Open. This is a semifinal between Daniil Medvedev and Stefanos Tsitsipas. Medvedev won the first set. Now this is in the second. Medvedev is going to double fault here, and that's on a break point, so Tsitsipas wins the game. Tsitsipas' father loves it sitting in the box. Listen to Medvedev go at the chair umpire.
Are you stupid? His father can talk every point. His father can talk every point. His father can talk every point. Repeat my answer, my question. Will you answer my question? Oh my God, how can you be so bad in the semifinal of your answer? Look at me. I'm talking to you.
Do you understand, Rick? So next time it should be a court violation because he's speaking here. If you don't, you are a, how can I call it? Small cat.
He called him a small cat. Meanwhile, Tsitsipas wins the second set, but then in the third, Medvedev responds. Medvedev taking the third 6-4. He would not slow down. Fourth set, match point. Medvedev in the near court, backhand winner, and that's all she wrote. He wins it in four, so Medvedev will advance to the Aussie Open final, where he will face Rafa Nadal, who also won, so that'll be the matchup for the final. On the men's side, meanwhile, the Australian Open's women's championship match will be tomorrow morning, 3:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN and the app. American Danielle Collins, playing in her first ever final, will square off against the top seed, Ash Barty. Coming up here, should Mike McCarthy already be looking over his shoulder? You have to hear what Sean Payton said yesterday. We will tell you what it means next.